Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today is Monday, February 27th, 2023. Hi, Butch.
Hi, Melody. How you doing today?
I'm doing just great. Thank you very much.
You over your hangover?
Which one?
There you go. Oh gosh, hope you had a great weekend.
I did.
Two days go by fast. That's Saturday and Sunday. Bang bang, you're going.
Yes, they are. We actually had a little snow on Saturday.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it looked pretty, you know, falling from the sky, but you know, by the time it landed, it didn't do anything once it hit the ground, but it was pretty watching it for, 10 minutes?
Well, I tell you, Southern California got hammered, and now the Midwest is getting some heavy winds blowing over houses and businesses. This has been a wild winter, to say the least.
I know.
You know, I mean, we're getting record highs here, and they're getting record lows. I guess in San Diego gets snow. Kind of look funny on the watch the palm trees swaying in the breeze and snow on the ground. Didn't look right.
We need to focus more on climate change then, right?
There you go. Let's do that, yes.
It's all those cows.
Yep. I mean, that it couldn't be that man's missing the weather. They never done that ever, so that couldn't be happening.
Well, it's not even the men messing with it. Of course, they probably are. I mean, I was told by my sixth grade teacher about the ability to, their plans to manipulate the weather, and that was a few years ago. That's been
10 years ago, right?
10 years ago, right. You know, so, I mean, they've been working on it a long time. But then again, people just don't understand that. Look at the building and the different heat indexes and all this macadam and cement and the additional irrigations. I mean, it all affects. So it does make a difference.
It does. I mean,
in the
does.
Summertime, you get heat islands from these cities, and it's just not here in the state. So, you know, does the heat island, does that go high enough to adjust the jet streams and so forth and whatnot? Well, you know, it just kind of makes common sense. You know, if they, you know, create, you know, if they talk about heat islands and you know, the humidity and things, of course it's going to make a difference.
And when you watch all that, and plus you read about HAARP and other things in Alaska and different things that they mess with, Yeah, man's messing weather up. There's no doubt about it. Whether intention or unintention, it makes no difference. The weather's changing.
Yeah, but there's so many things. The weather's changing. I mean, there's even debates, though, that the Earth is moving on its, you know, changing positions. That I believe more than anything.
And that's Bible, by the way. The Bible said the Earth will rock to and fro like a drunk man. It is changing positions. That's prophesied.
So, you have
to tell me the earthquakes that rattle, half a nation, don't tell me that doesn't change things once in a while. And I haven't heard anything more about what happened in Turkey. Last I heard it was 47,000 dead. I haven't heard anything on the news for the last few days anyway. But
I know
Turkey,
that sure dropped out of the news, didn't it?
It did. It sure did. Then the train took over. But that was an awful big catastrophe. Let it drop the news out quickly. I don't understand what happened. Why didn't he bring up some updates on that? I mean, that was huge. And I'm sure they're still trying. They'll be recovering for years. No one's saying anything about it now for at least, 4 or 5 days or longer?
Because it's Turkey, and we don't like Turkey. So.
Oh, okay.
Except at Thanksgiving.
There you go. With some stuffing. But anyway.
We used to call it filling.
Mm-hmm. Called filling? But I just thought it was kind of unusual
that's
you know,
all of a sudden.
That's
what the Pennsylvania Dutch call it, filling. We always called it filling. That's what the farmers and the Pennsylvania Dutch called it, filling. We didn't call it stuffing. And it was funny because when I just, when I was younger and I was growing up, we'd go to a restaurant and it's like, I'm looking for filling and I can't find it on the menu.
Oh,
it's stuffing. That's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah, we always called dressing or stuffing. I never heard it called filling. But I just thought it was odd.
Well, you're not Pennsylvania Dutch either. Did you miss that part?
I missed that part, I guess, yeah.
You missed that part? Yeah.
But I just can't believe it dropped out of the news that just that boom is gone after all that catastrophe. You think it was, at least something was happening.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and check out what the gold prices are today. Gold is up $6, $1,818. Silver had a little pressure, 17 cents at $20.70. Platinum was up $32 at $951. Palladium is up $15 at $1,505. Little pressure on the dollar, down 0.56, but hey, it's still at $104.67. Crude oil was down 60 cents at $75.72. Paper markets today, the Dow was up 72 points, 32.889. S&P was up 12 points. NASDAQ was also up 72 points. That's a little unusual. Europe was positive across the board. Asia was negative. 10-year yield, 3.92%. And let's see what natural gas was doing. It's up almost 7% at 2.717. So you have Palantir. I'm not quite sure. They are cutting about 2% of their employees. They don't have that many employees. 2% of its workforce as layoffs continue to hammer the tech industry. It's 75 people. But, hey, if you're one of those 75 people, you know, it hurts. And they have a total of about 3,800 people. So, and, you know, it's funny. The layoffs come after the software company reported its first profitable period earlier this month for the fourth quarter. The CEO expects it to generate a profit for the current fiscal year. And Palantir, which is known for its work with government defense agencies, reported an 18% increase in fourth quarter revenue to $509 million. And it's kind of interesting because here they're making profits and they're laying off people. And the tech industry doesn't get killed with bad publicity like the oil companies do. You know,
that's true.
I'll guarantee you people probably spend more on technology all day long than what they, you know, spend on gasoline. And so anyway, it's more, maybe at least the same, but I'll guarantee you people probably pay more on technology than they do on, I don't know. People probably think, well, how can that be? Well, figure it out. So I don't know.
I thought it was interesting today. I read today, too, that Twitter is down to around 2,000 employees. They had 7,500 when Musk took it over. They're down to 2,000 employees now. So I thought that's quite a drop for Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
From 7,500 to 2,000, that's a big cut. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, it is. It truly is. And so, you know, you kind of wonder, gee, what were all those people doing?
Yeah, really, you do.
Huh? And I pity the poor people that are left behind. Their job descriptions just multiplied by 3 or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But so now instead of just doing their job that was probably a half a person, now they're doing a work of 3 the way it should be. But I don't know. You said it was a little bit of a slow day.
Yeah, news-wise, wasn't a lot of interesting things, but a lot of, well, I won't say that. Interesting, perhaps, but nothing drastic, like another 7.8 earthquake, nothing like that, or big economic bust in too many places. But a lot of things happening in a lot of different areas, of course, as always. You know, it's an ever-changing world, it seems, in different directions. And I read an article here that I had to read it. I had to look at it twice to even begin to comprehend how somebody could think this way, Melody. You're not going to believe this, but if you don't wear a mask, you're racist, ableist, and a classist. Did you know that?
Did I know that?
Yes.
I do now.
You do now. I mean, this is, I was shocked. I've never worn a mask. I refused to wear a mask, but I didn't know as a bad person. It's an unmasking prejudice. Professor denounces maskless people as racist, ableist, and classist. George Washington University, where I teach this week, became one of the last major universities to drop its mask mandate. Many students had long declined to follow the mandate, but the decision was met with relief by many at the school. Yet some are livid about the lifting of the mandate such mandates in various schools. One is a professor at the University of British Columbia who has participated in roundtable discussions as an expert with Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Dr. Amy Tan is a clinical associate professor in palliative care and family practice at UBC's faculty of medicine and an adjunct professor at the University of Calgary. She recently issued a blistering attack on those going maskless as being racist, ableist, and classist. The comments raised long-standing concerns that masks have become a vehicle for social and political rather than medical agendas. And that's true. That is very true. Another division of the people. According to the media, I got to just pause a second. Who would have thought in 2020 or 2019 that if you didn't wear a mask, you were called a racist? I mean, who would have thought one day you'd be called a racist because you didn't wear a paper mask? That was not even anybody's radar, I don't think, at the time. According to media reports, Tam responded to a user who defended labeling non-maskers as racist. The user denounced dropping the mandates and added, "Once again and always, white people, you do not get to say what is or isn't racist. Stop speaking for and over BIPOC. Learn your place. Sit down, shut up, and listen to us. Your white saviorism is killing us. Whiteness is a problem. Oof." Now, Beldy, shame on you for not wearing your mask.
Wow.
So just sit down, shut up, and learn your place, Beldy.
All right, I'm out of here. You can do the program.
I mean, can you? How in the name of anything could you take the issue of wearing a mask to call somebody a racist, an ableist, a classist, or a white supremacist? Basically, how could you twist anything?
I know.
I mean, a mask, like anything near that. I mean, these people have got to be somewhere totally out of their minds, all I can say. Mm-hmm. They must have a life at all.
Well, they're still talking about reparations in San Francisco.
I know.
$5 million. But you know what? I did see this interesting article. It's out of the Wall Street Journal. And, it's about this latest push for these for new power and so forth. And now here's something that you don't hear anyone talking about. You don't hear about how the fossil fuel plants are shutting down without adequate replacement power. So the warnings keep coming that the force-fed energy transition is to renewable fuels is destabilizing the U.S. electric grid. Well, how can that happen, you would think? And no one's paying attention. Another SOS came Friday in a report from PJM Interconnection, one of the nation's largest grid operators. The PJM report forecasts power supply and demand through 2030 across the 13 eastern states and territory covering 65 million people. Its top line conclusion: fossil fuel power plants are retiring much faster than renewable sources are getting developed, which is going to lead to energy imbalances. And so that's just a nice way of saying that, well, you know what, start planning on shortages and blackouts. PJM typically generates a surplus of power owing to its large fossil fuel fleet, which exports to neighboring grids in the Northwest and Northeast. When wind power plunged in the Midwest and central states late last week, PJM helped fill the gap between supply and demand, and that kept the lights on. So they're predicting a large decline in its power reserves as coal and natural gas plants retire. The report forecasts a 40,000 megawatts of power generation, enough to light up 30 million households, are at risk of retiring by 2030. That's about 21% of their current generation capacity. So most projected power plant retirements are policy driven. For example, the steep costs of complying with the EPA regulations, including a proposed good neighbor rule that is expected to be finalized next month, will force about 10,500 megawatts of fossil fuel generation just to be shut down.
Wow.
It goes on to say that the utility company ESG, Environmental, Social, and Governance, commitments are driving coal plants to close. Illinois and New Jersey climate policies could replace generation by 8,900 megawatts. Do these states plan to rely on their good neighbors for power? Many states have established ambitious renewable goals, and the Inflation Reduction Act lavishes enormous subsidies on wind, solar, and batteries, but the report says the historical rate of completion for renewable projects has been approximately 5%, in part because of permitting challenges. In an optimistic case, the report estimates 21,000 megawatts of wind, solar, and battery storage capacity is only going to be added to the grid by 2030, about half as much. So then they talk about another problem, demand is going to increase amid the growth in data centers and the government's push for electrification of vehicles, heating, and everything else. Loudoun County, Virginia, boasts the largest concentration of data centers in the world. Do you know how much power those data centers entail that they use?
This has to be a planned scenario. This is not something they don't know or expect to happen. I think they know this is going to happen. We were discussing at our church services here, it's been a couple months ago, about how where one young lady's daughter went to be a missionary, they have rolling blackout intentionally to keep the power grid up for, you know, everybody a little bit at a time. I said, it's coming here soon. Matter of fact, in West Virginia, where they had a big freeze a couple months ago, it's actually discussed, didn't come out on the news to afterward, but they discussed the same thing here in West Virginia, and we are one of the largest producers of coal in the United States. They discussed rolling blackouts in the state. It's coming, Mildy, and they know this is coming. They're making food shortages, energy shortages, all this for a reason. And surely we can see that by now. Surely we can. So, I mean, they know this. The people that are moving in this direction, moving companies in this direction, know this. And the businesses that are trying to hang on to the traditional way of doing things can't afford to pay the fines. Like they said, they can't afford it. So they're shutting down. They know where they're heading this, into sustainable communities, 15-minute drive communities. That's where they're heading this.
And, you know, but look, but then you look at China. They continue to build new coal-fired power generation.
Yes, they do.
And they continue to build. So, you know, but we're the ones who suffer.
Well, the United States has to be brought down. That's all it is.
Yep, that's all it is. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And if you ask me how I'm feeling, don't tell me you're too blind to see. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna make you cry, never gonna say goodbye, never gonna tell a lie and hurt you. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. Butch, I just want to finish up.
Sure.
There was another report. This is out on Yahoo News, and it talks about the shocking impossible gas bills pushing restaurants to the brink of closure. Okay, I mean, so, you know, here was a restaurant. It's a Vietnamese restaurant, California, of course. 16 to 20 hours of simmering on the stove as a soup. When he opened his gas bill for January, it was more than $8,000.
Oh, my God.
In December, the Chinatown restaurant's gas bill was roughly $800 for November usage. The bill he received in January leapt to around $2,000, but even knowing another price increase was coming, didn't prepare for the restaurant owner for the bill he received in February. And he's just one of the countless owners who received a sky-high January gas bill, credited largely to the wholesale cost of natural gas hitting record highs. And what have I been talking about for the past, how low the natural gas is going?
Yes.
You know? I mean, this is being felt through homes and businesses in California. The Southern California's gas company, 21.8 million customers with Pacific Gas and Electric. So just everywhere, people are having these additional costs. And those are big, bill. So you got all these businesses struggling to pay their gas bills. You have people, you know, that are struggling to pay their bills. So it's just another sign. It's not a temporary situation where something's going to be fixed and everything is going to go back to normal.
Right.
No, that's not going to happen.
Another hit on another individual, another business, whatever you want to say. It's still an individual. An individual runs that business. That's his livelihood.
And, you know, the thing of it is, you know, these little restaurants, and they do serve good food. The guy says, we can't sell $25 sandwiches, unlike corporate-owned restaurants. You know, and what do we have anymore? Everything is corporate-owned, and they're all owned by the same thing you've got. And that's all the thing. Well, one thing, people usually go to these places, at least the food is consistent. I don't know if it's any good, but it's consistent. People know exactly what they're going to get when they go there. But, yeah, these corporate restaurants, just like anything else, get rid of the little guy. We don't want any mom-and-pop shops. They're a threat. So, anyway.
Well, when you stop and think, too, well, this may not be a big employer, but he hired somebody to work there. You know, I mean, people do work there.
But that's not even that's only part of it. But
you're right.
These people will lose their jobs.
They'll lose their jobs. That's
and multiply that by how many other restaurants?
Exactly. That's the point. Yeah. Yes, that's important to them. I mean, that's how they make their living on that. I mean, you just can't. You know, there's no easy way around that. I mean, it's another hit on the economy that you said many months ago. This is not going back to normal. Normal as we knew it is over, Melody. It's over.
I've been saying that since January of 2020.
At least.
With the
pandemic. You ain't on the money. It's over.
Yep.
And I see it happening to go, you know, with stores, they're not, maybe not laying off, but they're not hiring as many people. They're putting out this next article talking about self-checkout counters. They don't need clerks anymore to check out the counters to save money and mechanize things, I guess. And that's one of my pet peeves. I don't like stores where you have to check yourself out. I won't go in the stores if I can help it. As a matter of fact, I'll show you this. Right here in the little town I live in, Natty, West Virginia, they had a Family Dollar. It's a small little store. Went in, and I bought some things there over the time because it's handy to have. Then I put a Dollar General in, much bigger store, and probably a lot more products and neater and bigger. But you have to check yourself out. If you can find somebody, they don't need many people to work here, maybe one or two to stock the shelves. If you can find somebody, they'll come and check you out, but you got to find somebody. You can use a card or cash either one, but I don't like checking myself out. I want somebody there with me to answer questions, whatever I may need. I want some personal attention in that store. So I don't use that store very often. I go to the little Family Dollar store. They still have a checkout lady behind the counter or a gentleman. So I don't like that. And this is major retailer revealed why it will never change self-checkout policy despite pressure from rivals Walmart and Kroger. While shoppers may love the convenience of self-checkout, Trader Joe's has vowed not to add the machines to its store. And I like that. I wish we had a Trader Joe's where I live. Other major grocery stores like Walmart and Kroger have relied so much on self-checkout, removing cashier kiosks to make way for more machines. Major retailers like Walmart and Kroger rely on for checkout, but Trader Joe's has vowed to not add the machines. The grocery store continues to hire on-site staff. However, Trader Joe's will continue to hire on-site staff. The company believes its employees are more important than the glitz and the glamour of self-checkout. Good for them. The bottom line here is that our people remain our most valued resource, Tara Miller, Trader Joe's Vice President of Marketing, said to the Inside Trader Joe's podcast. While other retailers were cutting staff and adding things like self-checkout, curbside pickup, and outsourcing delivery options, we were hiring more crew, and we continue to do that. She added, our crew will be in the stores to help you find your next favorite product, just as they've always been. Well, I have to respect that. I do. We're losing the personal touch altogether. When you pick up a phone, you call somewhere, and you got to answer six questions. And you might get somebody to talk to that's a live individual, or you may not. But we lost the personal touch and service. And I like this Trader Joe's idea. We're going to keep our clerks working behind the counters. They need the job, and we want personal service for our customers. I applaud them for that. I really do. There are no Trader Joe's in my area, or that's where I would buy groceries. But I just want to say that's, to me, that was important. I don't like in the store where you don't have an option. You check out yourself, you either check stuff out or you don't shop. I don't like that at all. Any comments you want to share on that?
Well, you know, I was pretty much in that camp, you know, to where it's just like, you know, I can't believe these people, you know, don't say anything to, you know, the store that they're working at, because, you know, they encourage you to use your own checkout. And it's like, well, you know, you're going to lose your job. And plus, I pay for it. What I'm paying for that, whatever I'm purchasing, a part of that goes to the employee. So for their job. So why would I, you know, to where the company can make more money? I don't want to do that. However, I'll tell you what, I started using them because I get worn out with some of these people that are behind the register, and it's like, I swear that if they went, they only have one speed, and that is slow. And I watch, and it's like there's no energy. They got a sour look on their face most of the time. And it's like, you know what? I can go in and get out, and I don't have to, you know. You go into stores like the one you just mentioned. You go into, you know, a lot of these upper grocery stores. And, yeah, they do incredible training for their employees to, you know, to make sure that, you know, everybody's kind of happy and the employees are treated well. So I think that has a lot to do with it, too.
Well, I know that I don't use debit cards or credit cards. I pay cash. That's just what I do. I never have, don't like them. I have a debit card I can use, but I don't like to use them. I use it for emergency, perhaps I'm on the road somewhere, but I like cash. I've always liked cash. And so when you check stuff out, you know, at this new store, the Dollar General, you can use cash, you know, so you scan your own product and it gets changed back to you. But I just soon have somebody there that can do it with me and for me. And when you want to find a clerk to ask for something, you have to look really hard to find anybody, because there's maybe one somewhere in the office or one back in the back of the room in the mm-hmm. building stalking, but there's nobody there, you know, there's nobody there to ask. That's what I'm saying. You have to find somebody to ask. I don't like that. I don't like right. that. Part of a business is service. You don't have service, you don't really have a business. That's the way I feel about it. That's just my opinion. Of course, my opinion on $5, Melody, you buy a cup of coffee somewhere. You wait and see.
Well, we all have one.
That's true. I guess we can change gears now.
I think so.
Russia braces for civil war chaos as Kremlin opposition votes for Revolutionary Act. I suppose, and of course you don't see this on news, I mean, it's basically come out of Russia particularly, I don't think they'd advertise it, the people are getting tired of this war, really tired of it. I reckon that's what you're saying here. The Revolutionary Act called for the dissolution of the Russian Federation along with the removal of all powers from President Putin and government institutions. Vladimir Putin is driving Russia towards a civil war and its disintegration as a state, a leading Russian opposition politician told CLUK. He also said the only way to remove the Russian president and his criminal regime was through the use of force. Now, this is in Russia, Melody. If someone said that here, they'd be put in jail for saying that. But anyway,
well, yeah. I mean, if it was for anybody but Trump,
yeah, sure. There you go. Right there you go. Audrey Selenkov has an extensive background in Russian politics, having initially acted as one of the leaders of the Boris Berlusconi's Liberal Party before going on to help found the Union of Right Forces in 1999, and whose backers included Boris Nestov and Igor Kaidar. And another article says Putin will die in office or with bullets in his back, a despot's future predicted. Now, this is coming out of Russia.
What's reporting it? Is it propaganda?
I don't know. I mean, it gives the papers in a different thing, and the person supposedly said it, but I mean, if we said that Biden's going to die with some bullets in his back, they'd be, the FBI or CIA be at your house in just a couple hours. But Russian President Vladimir Putin's health has attracted a great deal of speculation for years. But one expert said it could be an assassination and not his medical condition that kills a dictator. Vladimir Putin will die while serving in office, serving his country, and the world can expect an assassination, one war expert believes. The Kremlin tyrant could be left with bullets in his back while he's still in office, they predict. Putin's car was attacked in what may have been an attempt to his life amid the Ukraine war. It was claimed in September and in 2012. It was suggested that he had survived five very near misses. Over the years, the Russian president's health has attracted a great deal of speculation, including claims that he has Parkinson's and travels around with a thyroid cancer doctor. But Nate Sibley, a Russian corruption specialist based in Washington, has told Express UK believes that he believes he knows how Putin will die. He knows how Putin will die. So I don't know. That's interesting. I thought that was very interesting that they could actually say those things there, and nobody's, as I know of, has been taken down because of it. I mean, today to hear that would be considered terrorist speech, and you'd be locked up before you put your hat on. So,
and again, as long as it's, I have a feeling, funny feeling, it's probably more propaganda. But
well, it could be, and that very well could be. But you know, the first article showed on that. But I know people are getting all fed up with the war. I've seen that enough of that on TV and actually in Russia. People, you know, are actually young men leaving Russia to get out being drafted even. So this thing's, who knows. But to add more fuel to the fire, U.S., Poland, Germany may hold joint maneuvers. Washington's in talks with Berlin and Warsaw to hold joint military maneuvers in Poland in response to Russia's threat to the eastern border of the NATO alliance, German Defense Minister Boris Pistorius said Sunday. Exercises were being considered, Pistorius told public broadcaster ARD, without confirming or adding any details for now. Military maneuvers in the country bordering Ukraine, invaded 1 year ago by Russia, was sent a very clear signal to NATO allies, but also to Russia, President Putin, that he added. NATO is far from being as weak as Putin has believed it for a long time. It's a lot stronger and more united than last year before Russia's troops February 22 assault. So we'll see, but you know, everybody, again, still rattling sabers and still making noise. I don't know where it's going to go to. I have no idea. But we're not talking about, you know, little nations in the middle of nowhere in some third country here. We're talking about nations that are world powers getting involved in this. So I don't know, Melody. These things keep, again, another shakeup somewhere with a different issue. You go from financial issues to war issues to moral issues. You bounce everywhere. Everything seems to be in chaos. Anything you add?
Well, things certainly are not functioning properly, that's for sure.
No, they're not. No, they are not. I mean, I watch some things happening that are really good news happening. We'll get into those maybe once sometime later on. But, you know, some states are outlawing trans shows or drag shows for children that long, you know, in the States, and of course there's a protest over it. But we're seeing some good things happen in a moral direction. Like the gentleman you just mentioned in the California got an $8,000 gas bill. I mean, these things are it's a mixture. Mostly though, it seems like we're sliding further into a cesspool of economic downturn that it's hard for Americans to grasp. It truly is. I mean, it's hard for us to imagine one day we may have to turn the power off for a few hours a day so they can turn on somewhere else. That's hard for us to imagine. I mean, we never had that before in this country, ever that I know of. You know, never. So that's what's coming to America.
Well, the thing of it is, I mean, this country has grown. More people are coming and growing and growing and growing. But everything stayed the same. The infrastructure was never created, or it was never addressed to handle the growing populations anywhere. And you know, that's why we didn't have those issues so long ago, because they were able to sustain what there was. But now it's just crazy. And you got these things like these data storage centers. People have no idea. We've got the largest ones in the world, and it's just like, really? Can't be good.
And people begging for a place to plug the car in.
I hear the music. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona, it's such a fine sight to see. It's a girl, my lord, in a flatbed Ford, slowing down to take a look at me. Come on, baby, don't say baby. I gotta know if your sweet love is gonna save.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Butch?
Well, we will talk about East Palestine, I guess, so, because this is something that's not going to go away. And I've been seeing this different places on news and on reading articles. This could be as big as Chernobyl when it's finished, and that's hard to imagine, but who knows? It's already causing many problems. This gentleman wrote an article. That article says, "Sound like Mickey Mouse. Eats Palestine's residents shock illnesses after derailment." Wade Lovett's been having trouble breathing since the February 3rd Norfolk South train derailment and toxic explosion here. In fact, his voice sounds as if he'd been inhaling helium. "Doctors say I definitely have the chemicals in me, but there's no one in town who can run the toxicological test to find out which ones they are." Lovett, 40, an auto detailer, said in an extremely high-pitched voice, "My voice sounds like Mickey Mouse. My normal voice is low. It's hard to breathe, especially at night. My chest hurts so much at night that I feel like I'm drowning. I cough up phlegm a lot. I lost my job because the doctor won't release me to go to work." Despite his health woes, Lovett and his fiancée, Tawana Irwin, 45, spent last Thursday delivering bottled water to locals. They picked up new cases outside a home on East Clark Street, which had become the heart of East Palestine's homegrown campaign to fight back against the forces that upended the lives of roughly 4,700 residents and their animals. So, obviously, something's happened to this man's lungs. I mean, he sounds like Mickey Mouse. Something's happening here, but the EPA keeps saying everything is clear. Water's good, air's good. And, Melody, I can't believe that. I don't believe that at all. I don't think the air is good. I mean, if you've been watching news at all, you've seen a guy poking a stick in the water, and it looks like it's turned up gobs of oil under the water, and on it brings it to the surface. I don't think that you clean this water and air up in just a matter of a few days, do you?
I mean, I'm not a chemist and, you know, so forth, but, I mean, certainly they – I mean, it's just common sense to think that I mean, they just poured those chemicals in the ground. I mean, they didn't do anything to – I don't know if they used anything to separate it from the ground. I mean, yeah. It's – you just don't know the impacts. But, you know, it's just kind of like 9/11 that we said here the other day. You know, they – government refused – admitting that people were having issues and dying from 9/11 how many years?
Yes.
Years.
Yes. Yep, they sure did. And now that a train from the same company just derailed in North Carolina, too, I understand. I haven't got that far into it yet, but the same company just derailed again. So I don't know. I really don't know, but I just think that this is going to be bigger than people want to think about, and I do believe that they kind of more or less tried to sweep it under the rug. You know, they didn't get any attention at all for a week or so, and all of a sudden everybody got involved, went down and started checking on them. So I don't know. I know Trump went down and checked on them, and people liked him being there because Biden hasn't even hardly said hello to him yet. So I don't know. It's political, too. It is political, too. Trump sent down, I guess, a huge amount of water to him. Yes, it is political, folks. It's political, and I'm not saying he doesn't care, but that's a political move. Ohio train derailment contamination fears spread beyond East Palestine. Concerns range from bottled water in Columbus to wastewater disposal in Houston. Gee. Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Michael Regan said on Tuesday that their agency will order Norfolk Southern to pay for the necessary cleanup in East Palestine, Ohio, after one of its trains carrying hazardous materials derailed. Weeks after a train derailment near the Ohio-Pennsylvania border left hazardous chemicals burning from rail cars, fears of the potential impacts are being felt in places far from the accident. Groceries chain Giant Eagle, with hundreds of stores in five states, including Ohio and Pennsylvania, pulled bottled water off shelves out of an abundance of caution because it bottled water 25 miles from the derailment. That's pretty good distance, but they pulled the water off the shelves. Two high school basketball teams elsewhere in Ohio forfeited games rather than venturing to the region to play. More than 1,000 miles away, Houston area politicians rushed to assure residents anxious about firefighting wastewater from the derailment site set for disposal in Texas. So, yeah, it's already having a big chain reaction. I mean, the store about Giant Eagle is a big corporation, pulling water from the shelf because this bottle was bottled 25 miles from what this happened. I don't know, Melody. What do you think on that?
Oh, I don't know.
I'm sure there'll be some hype in this, and no doubt about that. I mean, both sides will maybe try to downplay it, one will try to expand it because that's what people do. But
right.
this didn't clear up overnight, though. That's just not possible.
No, it didn't.
You know, that's not possible. Been okay. Far better if the EPA would took it seriously from the beginning. Maybe the people wouldn't have been so quite upset. And now bringing in Aaron Bronkovich and others, you know, to add fuel to the fire, so to speak.
Yeah, I know. And it was, you know... I don't know how much of it has. I don't think any of it has been exaggerated as far as the people in those areas. I mean, this is an area that is, you know, they're hardworking people, and That's all. They just want to live their lives. So.
Well, I think that's true about everybody in any country, even Ukraine. If you watch the devastation over there from the war, people, all they want to do is live their lives. They didn't want to go to war. And no matter whose fault it was, the regular people that walked the streets had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
See, that's the part that really messed my mind up, makes me angry, because if we would be attacked, what do we do to provoke it?
Yeah.
So this is things that folks we sometimes don't stop and think about, but the innocent suffer far greater than those who are guilty of causing the act, far greater, because the ones who plan to bring this about already prepared for their preservation far more than they have ours. Understand that. This is the way it is. It's always been that way. People that declare wars don't fight the wars. That's the part that makes me angry. I mean, they call out our children to fight them, and then if our nation's attacked, then everyone in that nation suffers from the war. Ukraine is being demolished, and I imagine much of Russian border towns are too. But Ukraine's been demolished, and those people did not go out and shoot somebody to cause this war to happen. By no means. Different topic, but I think important also. Nearly 60% of voters have less money in their pockets during Biden presidency. Yeah, I think that's true. Nearly 60% of the registered U.S. voters say they have less money in the pocket than they did a year ago, according to the Fox News poll released on Sunday. 57% say they have less money to spend than last year, compared to 50% who felt that way in February 2022. In 2018, only 28% of registered voters supported having less money in their pockets. Those feeling hardest hit include Republican women, 78% less, rural whites, 69% less, Generation Xers, 63% less, and voters with annual income below $50,000, 62% less, according to the poll report. So, yeah, I mean, we all don't buy as much. You don't keep as much in your pocket, do you, Melody?
No, that's for sure.
I mean, that's simple common sense in my mind. It takes more to buy what you bought, last year. And I don't care if you got a 6% raise, you're still going to hold because inflation is closer to 17% or 18% than what they would admit it is. Because they don't count food and fuel. They don't count the two main things everybody has to have to live, energy and food. So they don't count that. But that's what hits most people the hardest, Melody, is buying food and feeding the family. Would you agree?
Well, that's the most important one. It's the most important one.
So, of course it hits. Of course it hits. And it cuts everybody's earnings. It cuts into everybody, especially those, we'll say, in the mid to lower income brackets. And that's a lot of people who may be retired people and different people that are not making 50 grand or more a year, that hurts. But everyone gets hit with it. Unless you're a business that somehow or another finagled a way to make money out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know? And this, I thought was interesting. We said this on this radio program a long time ago. Lab leak, most likely origin of COVID-19 pandemic, Energy Department now says. U.S. agencies revised assessment is based on new intelligence. We said this come out of a Chinese lab. We said this a long time ago. The U.S. Energy Department has concluded that the COVID pandemic most likely arose from a laboratory leak, according to a classified intelligence report recently provided to the White House and key members of Congress. The shift of the Energy Department, which previously was undecided on how the virus emerged, is noted in an update to a 2021 document by Director of National Intelligence Orville Haynes' office. The new report highlights how different parts of the intelligence community have arrived at disparate judgments around the pandemic's origin. The Energy Department now joins the Federal Bureau of Investigation, that's right, folks, the FBI, in saying the virus likely spread via a mishap at a Chinese laboratory. Four other agencies, along with the National Intelligence Panel, still judge that it was likely the result of a natural transmission, and two were undecided. The Energy Department's conclusion is a result of a new intelligence and is significant because the agency has considerable scientific expertise and oversees a network of U.S. national laboratories, some of which conduct advanced biological research. Now, there you go, Melody. You somebody in this program, I think it was you, brought this up a long time ago, and there you are. This wasn't a natural virus. And now they're working on one, and I won't get in detail with it because I don't have enough details really get any depth about it. But this virus will make you bleed out every orifice in your body, mouth, ears, nose, whatever. You're going to bleed. This is what's going to happen. It's another man-made biological.
Well, that already sounds like Ebola.
It does, doesn't it? It does. It does. I mean, the population control is important to them, Mel. They don't care how to do it. They don't care the slaughter in the womb. They don't care the slaughter on battlefields. They don't care the bomb in their homes. As long as come back on population.
Yep.
And in a way, some good news, I do believe, Iowa and Ohio weigh in state ban on federal gun control enforcement. We're seeing this happen a lot of places. Thank goodness. Iowa, Ohio, and Georgia and other red states are weighing in state bans on the enforcement of federal gun control deemed infringements on gun rights. Montana has had such a ban on and on February 10th, Breitbart News reported that Governor Greg Gannafort told the ATF that the AR pistol stabilizer brace rule cannot be enforced in Montana. Missouri also has such a ban, as does Nebraska and Arizona. The Wall Street Journal noted that Iowa, Ohio, Georgia, and other red states are now weighing bans on federal gun control enforcement. Iowa State Rep. Jeff Shipley is pushing the ban in his state, and the push is supported by Carroll County Attorney John Wearden. Wearden said, "I don't see this as a liberal or conservative issue. I see it as states' rights issue." I'm glad to hear somebody bring up states' rights. Yeah. If they ever read the Bill of Rights, folks, you'll find out that Article 10 clearly states that states are sovereign in themselves to run their own internal affairs. If you read Article 1, Section 8, Paragraph 17 of the Constitution, you'll find out the federal government has no authority outside of 10 square miles of Washington, D.C., except on property ceded by the states for federal use, like post offices or forts. Other than that, they have no authority in the states. They cannot pass laws and make states obey these laws. But the problem is the states suck off the federal tits, so they have to obey them. Up until now, maybe things are changing. But they took federal handouts, so therefore they had to obey this federal government. But the federal government has no authority. It's doing thousands of things that it doesn't have authority to do because no one reads the Constitution. That's just the way it is. Really, I don't want else to add to that because it's pretty clear if you read the Constitution. I have a little bit of it. And Article 1, Section 8, Paragraph 17 says this federal government has no authority outside 10 square miles of Washington, D.C. How do you change that? Except that you allow it to happen because you're used to getting handouts. You see what I'm saying?
I do.
So, states' rights are something that we've forgotten about. That's why we had the first war between the states. And that's it didn't go away. They ignore it now, but it didn't go away. It's still in there. But some states are saying enough is enough, and I'm glad to hear that.
Well, let's just hope that if they say enough's enough, let's hope they do something about it. And so, you know, because lots of times they start, but sometimes it seems things to go, you know, to the side, and they get too much pressure, and the next thing you know, it's. But it's something to be optimistic about.
Yes, absolutely. It is. It's a little bit of good news.
Yes, it is. 800-375-4188. We'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.
Broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of Clear Digital Audio, 22,500 miles above the planet.